Good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com and the WKWX app. Great Saturday morning. It's always a good Saturday morning when you get a win. You come in here on Saturday and everybody's happy and talking a little football. But we appreciate you tuning in. I hope you enjoy Coach to Coach right before us, Doug Matthews and Dave McGinnis. And last night, the Tigers, like I said, get a win. They opened the 2023 season over NBA out of Memphis, 48-12. Coach Smith will join us in a few. We'll talk about last night's game, get his opinion of what the Tigers look like and what's ahead for them as Giles County comes to town, a little bit of a different animal headed into the jungle next week. Also, a little bit later on, we'll talk some SEC football. And then I'll get these boys' opinion. Watched a documentary on Johnny Football. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Interesting documentary on him. A good watch on Netflix. So all that's coming your way in just a bit. Bring Kirk in here. First of all, David Long's in here with me. David, a long time sports talk icon. I guess it's what he is. David used to be with me years and years ago, and he's done some play-by-play for us as well. A good friend of all of ours in here, me and Kurt and Kendall, and a big part of what we've done here over, I don't know how many years. David, I'll bring you in here in just a minute. I don't know how many years that we've been together with Sports Talk. Oh, gosh, it goes back to the old B&J days.
It's been a long time. It's been quite a while. Enjoy listening to you guys more than getting on here and talking myself. But, you know, hey, it's all fun. It's all about the kids, about the high school. Appreciate what you guys do every Saturday and every Friday night.
Yeah, and David gives us a lot of information throughout the season on the teams that we play and stuff like that. And he's got some information on Giles County, as a matter of fact. And we'll take a look at what he's come up with. But like I said, we go back to Coach Mac Adams, back to the days where we got a playlist and we're just going play by play and going, what happened there, Coach?
And why?
And why? Kurt does it a little bit different. He Matthew's like his kid. He just talks to Matthew, like, you know.
Well, of course, he coached Matthew when Matthew was a little feller. And
he was born big.
I was going to say, wasn't very many days he was a little feller.
Never been a little fella.
It's a neat format. Of course, we kind of carried it over from the way Jim Winburn did it before you and I, started. And that was kind of a format Coach Mack liked. And let you mention all the kids' names and talk about what had gone on, and especially for folks that weren't there. But I think people enjoy the insight of, the way y'all are doing it now and getting the thoughts of what's going on and, why did you do such in a certain situation. And, it's all about, Tiger football and Tiger basketball and all the other sports going on in Hardin County.
Exactly right. Well, that's why we're here. We want to make sure we get all that out, talk about, like you said, about the kids. We've been blessed here the last several years with a lot of great talent, and that's evident by kids getting to go play at different sports, but going to play Division I. When did we think that, we would have – not one, but a couple of Division I players going in recent years. And then the opportunities with our bowling team and that those kids have had going to get to go to college. And we don't want to forget our trap team and shooting team, world champions. I mean, we've had a lot of great things going on up there at high school.
Really do. And for those that aren't as familiar with – the trap team and the, hopefully they are with bowling by now. I mean, that's such a domination that doesn't even exist, anywhere. And this last year, Kaylee Chanel picked up her national championship at Vanderbilt. So, that's just a tremendous thing. A lot of kids are getting to go to the next level, compete. This past week, We had the BASS Collegiate Championship up here on Pickwick Lake as far as fishing. UTK, Knoxville had a team in the top 12. Bethel University had one in the top 12, and Auburn University won it. So, you know, we've got kids that are participating in that, you know, throughout the country. And that's a really good thing. I mean, it means money to Hardin County. They're getting paid to go to school, and that's a great thing. And you said we got a couple of guys in D1 right now. We've got several in, you know, smaller schools in the mm-hmm. football side. Got a young lady down at UNA that's going to end up being the career rebounding leader maybe in the country before it's over with, you know, in basketball. So a lot of kids getting a lot of exposure. And, of course, we had Latrell yesterday come in, and you know, we've got a Seattle Seahawk here in Hardin County. You know, he's yeah. having to rehab now. But what a tremendous thing, tremendous story, really, for him to persevere as he did through all the three coaches up there, and now hopefully get to see him get well and hopefully see it pay off for him.
Yeah, and Caden Pope, now New Mexico, is it New Mexico or New Mexico State? He's a Lobo.
New Mexico State Lobo. He actually kind of followed a coach out there after Coach Leach yeah. passed away at Mississippi State. And seems like a long way to go, but, you know, a lot of these things at that level are relationship, you know, with players and coaches. And so hope he gets out there and has a good opportunity.
Well, yeah. Still got Hudson in at Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Wheeler Wilkes, you know, golf team, he just went to Blue Mountain, made a decision. He got an opportunity there. So we got a golfer going and playing some golf in college as well. So a lot of good things going on at Hardin County High School. And, you know, last night is another part of that, is the atmosphere that we had last night. Pretty good crowd out. Of course, NBA out of Memphis coming in. But the Tiger tailgate party was crowded, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And, of course, the Tiger Walk was exciting as well. So since you and I first started, they've done a lot of different things.
They have. I mean, and a lot of good things. Everything that goes on just adds to the atmosphere of a Friday night. And Hardin County's unique in so many respects in that you don't see this everywhere you go. And it was something for those, you know, young men from Memphis to see last night. Quite frankly, I talked to one of their coaches. A lot of those kids had never been out of the city of Memphis. They'd never been out of their neighborhood. So it was, you know, something for them to come and see, you know, this kind of atmosphere. Hopefully we're going to experience the same atmosphere as we bring somebody back to Hardin County for the first time in a long time next Friday. And those things impact the outcomes of ball games at times.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you came by. It was a big surprise. I seen you walk in. I said, well, where are you
well,
doing?
I hadn't seen your new digs out here. Oh, and yeah. It's wonderful. Y'all got a great – this is a whole lot different than me and you setting up tables and – spreading out biscuits years ago. I mean, y'all have reached the big time.
Oh, yeah.
You and Kirk, I mean, he's just kicked back over here. I'm surprised he ain't got his lazy boy.
This is a professional operation.
Yeah.
I just make everything better.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, yeah. you got everything set up and ready to go. And years ago, we was plugging in cords and
I know, yeah.
Thumping boxes and trying to figure out what's happening.
Well, I had to get a machine that had a mute mic for somebody.
For somebody?
Yeah.
It used to be called a cough button, but now it's a mute mic.
I'll tell you something. Dave and I, we went through – all our kids played together. We watched football sitting side by side, watching our kids play for 8 years. And it was funny because it never changed from the beginning that we sat there and watched when our kids were on the bench and not playing. I would look up and I'd go, what a run. He'd go, what a block.
Yeah.
It's all about perspective, man. It's all about perspective.
Did you see that number 73, that block he made? And I went, no. Did you see that number 32 and that spin move he made?
Well, you know.
He'd have never spun if he hadn't got blocked four first.
That's exactly right.
Chicken or the egg, brother.
Well, David, I appreciate you coming by. Good to see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hadn't seen you all summer long. And matter of fact, I was just thinking about you a couple of weeks ago. You came to my mind, and I thought, well, you know, I hadn't seen David in a while. So I'm glad you came by. Come by anytime.
Appreciate it.
He's full of knowledge about Hardin County football especially. And so any insight you can give us,
yeah, if you ever want anybody to evaluate a lineman,
call David.
Call David.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Coach Smith to join us. We'll talk some Tiger football. They were on the field last night. They opened the 2023 season and got a win over MBA. We'll be back with Coach Smith. This is Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We got a house full in here, man. What an exciting Saturday morning. Dave, don't run off. You got to go. Appreciate David Long coming by here. And like I said, a longtime friend of the program, a big part of the program years and years ago when we were both young and easier to do. But let's bring in Coach Smith. First of all, Kirk along with us and Kendall Atkinson with us as well. We'll talk to Kendall here in just a bit. But Matthew, last night, the 2023 season kicks off finally after a long summer, hot camp, a couple of scrimmages, and you get to do it for real in a real game atmosphere last night. Good crowd on hand. Tiger Walk was exciting last night. A lot of people down there. For that, and at the tailgate party atmosphere around there, always good. But I'm pretty sure you were glad to get things going and get this season off to a good start.
Yeah, I mean, great atmosphere last night. Team, you know, obviously we didn't know a lot about in Memphis Business Academy and really the old Frazier High School over in Memphis and you know, thought we had an excellent crowd on hand. As you said, Tiger Walk was outstanding. A lot of people there tailgating last night, and just a great night to get it started.
Well, they intimated that you were my son on this show. I wouldn't go quite that far. That he used to be a lot more obedient, Steve. He's not. He doesn't pay as much attention to me now as he used to. He's grown away from his daddy.
Yeah.
Last night, the one thing in that ball game was that opening drive that they had, and which was unusual. We were kind of up there going, wow, you know, that weren't quite expecting that. I know that they had athletes. We talked about all night. I mean, in space, they were going to give anybody a hard time. But I just kind of wanted to get into it with that first drive because, really, that was the only, you know, question mark that I noticed in the game.
Well, and you know, as we talked about last week on the show, we didn't have anything on them from this year. You know, had four games from last year on them, and they had a new coach. In Memphis, typically they get new players from year to year. There and as being in the city and kids moving and going different places and that kind of stuff, but we knew they were going to be an athletic football team coming in and didn't know exactly quite what the scheme was going to be. And I learned this from coaching track years and years ago at track meets. You know, you go to a track meet in West Tennessee and at Jackson and we'll run track meets over there, and then you go to Memphis to the regional. It's different.
It's a whole different track meet.
It's a different track meet, and the speed of it is different.
Right.
And you saw that last night. There was a lot of kids from MBA that could run and move and extremely athletic, and it took us a little while to get adjusted to that. You know, we came out with the game plan, and we changed it, adjusted it on the first drive. You know, we were going to play too high to doubles. Last year on film, they'd have thrown a lot out of the doubles formation. Two-by-two split, and we changed that, got the extra backer in the box pretty quickly, you know, after the first couple of runs. You know, they did a good job coming out and executing there. But I thought we settled in, got used to the speed, still had some bust primarily on the backside of it, you know, on the one they reversed the field on later on in the game. But it was a good night for us to get used to that.
Well, I mean, when it turned into a, you know, a fire drill play, you know, as a coach, you want to get guys in position to make plays. And when they reverse field, now it becomes just a, you know, it's a clown show then, and what can you do? And it worked against them a lot. I mean, you ended up, you know, with guys making tackles for loss behind the line of scrimmage when they would reverse field. They weren't as effective later on in the ball game, but I know when it becomes backyard football, it's scary what can happen when you've got a guy like a Charlie West type running back that you can't get a hand on.
Well, you know, it certainly is, and again, I mean, we knew that they were going to be extremely athletic, and to get that feel for how fast they really are in practice, it's tough to simulate throughout the week, and then you get into the game, and you got to get adjusted to it, and you got to be disciplined to do your job and pursue the football the correct way, and we lost that a couple of times, and. You know, when you got or playing a team that's got four or five guys that can take it to the house on you at any time, you know, you have to be extremely disciplined. So I feel good about how we adjusted throughout the course of the game, and thought that was a good team for us to open up with.
It sure was. I mean, you're going to see more of that.
Absolutely.
With the schedule that we've got this year. And it was like that first series. I looked at Kendall up there and I went, their lanes have a lot of bend in their lanes when they were trying to pursue and their angle of attack, you know, they bananaed it because the guy was already to their shoulder by the time they got there. And it was kind of an eye-opener for us because, hey, it's fun watching those athletes that can play, and then how are you going to corral that, which you did a good job, you know, after that first single.
Well, game. And we know is if you want to be the caliber of program that we want to be and make playoff runs, you're going to face those type of teams that have the speed that they have, or those type of athletes, I should say.
And a team that's – you got to give them credit, too. Teams that don't have a large inventory of players and you're not real deep, and maybe their line play and their discipline was not up to par. I mean, they were still trying to line up lots of time. But that's how they have to play. You know, if you're going to be effective, you've got to just give the ball and let him go. And that's what they did. They did what they could do.
All right, let's take a time out. We're talking with Coach Matthew Smith, and we'll talk more with him about last night's game coming up a little bit later on. Giles County will be in town, the Bobcats. We'll talk about them and get his perspective on them. It'll be a little bit different game next week, a really good football team coming in. And then we'll take a look at some scores around the region as well. Let's take a quick time out. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. And talking with Coach Matthew Smith about last night's big win over MBA. And Coach, just building on what you and Kirk were talking about, when you're prepping for a night like last night where it's going to be a lot of confusion, a lot of congestion, a lot of anything that is supposed to be normal not being normal, you know, what do you tell your kids all week? Not more so much of what to expect, but, you know, just how to remain disciplined in what they're supposed to do, even though there's going to be a lot of chaos and there's nothing conventional about what they're doing on the other side.
Well, you know, we talked to them quite a bit during the week about that and being able to have the focus level to execute in the middle of all that chaos. And I thought scheme-wise defensively what MBA did last night, I mean, they went from three-man front to four-man front to five-man front. They were bringing cross blitzes on the inside. Our offensive line, I really, we weren't perfect by any stretch, but I thought did a heck of a job for especially the first ball game of being out there and seeing all that, the stuff that You know, we had to see and block last night. I was really pleased with their performance and what we were able to get done up front. And, you know, Carter, he checks a lot of his protections at the line of scrimmage and getting the guys slid the right way, the zone side, the man side, where it needs to be. And, did a good job of executing in both the run game and pass protection last night.
I guess defensively too, you know, they did a lot of things. They showed a lot of movement, a lot of eye candy going on back in the back, putting people in motion, doing a lot of the wide receiver sweeps and things like that.
You know, a lot of the stuff we couldn't prepare for. We were adjusting on the sideline. Of course, you know, nowadays with technology and having iPads on the sideline, that certainly helps, and in the press box and to be able to make adjustments. But we were having to do quite a bit of it last night because, again, really not having film from this year, new coach, not knowing, you know, totally what to prepare for. We didn't last week, you know, we made the decision in staff meetings we weren't going to install really anything new for this week, but we were going to practice what we had in our base offense, base defense against a lot of different things and make our kids be able to make adjustments and show new things at practice that we hadn't really gone over in meetings to, you know, we got to make adjustments on the fly. So that's kind of how we handled it during the course of the week, trying to get them ready for that. And thought our kids did a pretty good job overall of being able to execute that on the fly on a Friday night.
Well, one thing too, and I really do believe that when you're setting up a game plan against a team and they're in a 3-4, there is a coordination of a 3-4 versus a 4-3 or a 5-man front. All your blocking schemes change. And when you're playing a team that doesn't really line up the same way twice, I mean, by accident or by design, it doesn't matter. I mean, just their X's are not in the spots they're supposed to be in. So and I don't remember a lot of whiffs on the offensive line, you know, playing against that. I think sometimes it's harder to play against undisciplined than it is the X and O's that you look on paper all the time.
Well, absolutely, from an execution standpoint and you know, being able to practice it all week and having a great idea of what you're going to get out there, it is easier to do that. And when you get a team like last night that giving you multiple looks, tons of blitzes, it makes it, you know, more difficult. And, you know, Jake did a great job. Cam, too, at the running back, made a couple miss here and there that we didn't pick up. And, you know, that's what you see good running backs do. I mean, they can make a guy miss
at the scrimmage
and still get positive yards.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. That was, to me, I think one of the brightest spots in the game was your running back's visions, because they were seeing holes that weren't designed, you know, by the play, and being able to, you know, pick that hip up off of a lineman and make the right cuts off of it. I think there was one play in there we ran 5 yards, and I think it was the shortest run that we had had so far in the ball game. And I told him, I said, well, we looked a little bad on that play, and we gained 5 yards. You know, it was a good run. So, I mean, your run game was good. But the other thing I want to get into, and I know this, you got to be proud of this. I did not see an uncatchable ball thrown by Carter all night.
Yeah, I thought we were pretty sharp. Again, it starts with protection up front. But, you know, even when that breaks down a little bit, being able to know where to go with the ball, getting it out of your hand quick. And I thought last night probably throughout his high school career, the game looked like it really slowed down for him, and he knew where to go with the football. Threw it well last night. You know, technique of throwing the ball was good on film, and thought our receivers did a nice job, running backs. I think we completed balls to 7 different guys last night throughout the course of the game. So that was a positive thing of being able to spread the ball around and get it to different people. But, again, just knowing where to go with it. I think, you know, offensively, against a scheme like theirs, I was extremely proud. I think we had 3 negative plays on the night. The first one was a stretch play where they jumped in zero coverage, and it was the free safety that ran the alley that made
right.
it, you know, which we don't have accounted for on that play. And he was just way down in the box and made a play on it. We had a holding penalty on a quarterback draw on the 2 minute there that was a negative play. And I think there was, at the very end of the game when we were running out the clock with the younger bunch, we had a negative play. So, you know, to only have three negative plays offensively throughout the course of the game, I was pleased with that for the first game.
And that you brought up on one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, what'd you have? You had five, six, or seven guys. All your receivers touched football. I mean, he threw it to just about everybody that was in a route, you know, last night. Was that by design? I mean, are you wanting to spread it to different guys? Or is just so happened each play may have been different and he threw it to the open guy?
Well, I mean, you know, we've gotten now with him and with our offense, you know, used to we'd take a play and maybe it was designed to work outside or flare check down off of it. And our receivers know that any of the five eligible, if we've got five out, the back's out, not in protection, they could get a ball based on the look he's seeing and the matchups and different things. Of course, last night a lot of times it was press coverage, one free with the safety about 30 yards deep. And
what was that?
I don't know. He was back here a long way.
The only time he wasn't 35 yards off a ball was when the end zone stopped him.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, that's as deep as I've ever seen one probably.
Well, I thought he was – the first time we looked back there, I thought he was in punt coverage. I mean, yeah, I thought he was going to, you know, back to catch punt, but
– He was back here a long way. But Carter did a nice job of, again, taking what the play allowed him to take and what the defense gave him. And, you know, when we were in matchups where sophomore, junior year, we might have worked the four route or the five route out there, we're throwing the seams
right
based on a matchup. And
well, like that throw to Weeks when he ran the seam just down the hash mark and that safety was back there 40 yards and – safety couldn't get in the play, and he recognized that, and he threw it to the backside shoulder on Weeks because he had just a step. I mean, the coverage was pretty good, but where the throw went, the defender couldn't turn his hips, you know, 180 degrees and get back on the play, and the safety was so deep he couldn't get there. That was like a 25-yard pass, and the safety still couldn't get there. But his recognition on things like that last night, his outside shoulder throws on the deep routes down the sideline, I mean, they were catchable, but the defense couldn't get to it. I mean, just some of the things he did. And I also wanted to ask you, was did he go just like full Peyton Manning on the bootleg and just call that on his own? Or because I know one thing, Steve Carnell said it was we were tackled for a loss, and then Kendall looked up and said, he doesn't have the ball. Carter does.
Yeah. No, it was a read play. We had the bullet read tagged on it there. And really, they jumped down in alignment late. And we had the tackle and the outside backer come off the edge. They had almost like a four-week look bringing. And they really had us outnumbered. But they closed on Jake. And he rode it pretty good before he pulled it. And but it was a good read by him, and I don't know about the hurdle to get in there. But,
he saw a ghost. But
I thought, you know, in the course of the game, real good 2 minute drive right there before halftime to go down the field, clip, score, you know, there to get points out of that one. That's always big if you can get in 2 minute offense. I think we had a minute on the clock when we got the ball.
Well, that was the bet we made in the press box. You know, I asked them. I said, can they score with 1:07 left, you know, in the half? And yeah, all of us said, I think so. You know, well, I think it was 37 seconds. You scored.
Yeah, and then another thing, I down late in the second half, one of their last series there, we threw a bubble to Wesley. NBA did a great job of jumping. They came on it, and just the calmness there to let Wesley go on up the field a little bit, right, and dump the ball to, right, him. And you know, those are things that you see that he's matured a little bit, mm-hmm, in the offense, and really all of them have. Wesley's played a lot of ball for us just to be able to adjust that route on up and right, dump it out there. So good to see you last night.
That's what we were talking about, though, last night. I mean, we checked down quite a bit last night. I wouldn't think they was by design, but we threw to the backs kind of as a safety valve a couple of times. You're talking about that particular play. We did some drags across from one side to the other. That takes time for that to develop. So we saw some things last night that we haven't seen over the last couple of years, using our backs and stuff, more like a safety valve check down.
Well, and again, it gets back into we've gotten into a lot of where we can release them or check them out now. And you got to be able – you start the passing game by how we're going to protect it first. And him being able to call that and recognize it and getting the line slid the right way. And then, of course, obviously the line executing and doing their job there. But it certainly helps and knowing where those hots – are a big part if you want to release five guys into routes. So we've been able to improve on that and throughout the summer, and I think it went pretty well last night.
Yeah, I'd say so. All right, let's take a timeout. More with Coach More with Coach Matthew Smith. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We're in with Coach Matthew Smith. I'm Steve Cornell, along with Kirk Carroll and Kendall Atkinson in the house with us. And David Long was in earlier. Appreciate David coming by this morning and coming by the Sports Talk studio. But, Coach, last night you get a big win. I wanted to run down the playlist here just for a few minutes, scoring plays, before we get into Giles County. But they opened up with a four-play drive, 69 yards, two big runs, helped set that off, and got off to a fast start. And it looked like a little bit we were on our heels defensively and kind of shocked a little bit, maybe the speed of the game that they brought.
Yeah, but, you know, pleased with our kids not getting down. I mean, you know, again, just made adjustments and kind of got into the flow of the game. Probably need to come out with a little more intensity there. Something to look at, certainly. But, you know, again, not being able to prepare for exactly what they were going to be able to do and the speed that they were going to be able to do it with hurt us a little bit. But, you know, made adjustments and were able to get into the flow after that.
Well, the Tigers go on a drive themselves. They go five plays, 60 yards, 12 yards, touchdown Smith to Jacob Saunders to get our first score of the night.
Yeah, and really pleased with the way we got the run game established. Had some explosive runs there in that first drive. I think really the only pass play that we had was on that first drive was the touchdown play. But nice job of picking them up front. I thought we were moving, controlling the line of scrimmage there. Jake doing a nice job finding the seams and ultimately went to what we call a man beater play down in the red zone. There it's a mesh concept and had Jake on the backside tailback wheel there and did a good job of finding him.
And then the next scoring drive, eight plays, 68 yards, a 4-yard run by Carter.
Good drive again there and kind of went to our heavy personnel in the red zone running the football and we had a read on the backside of it and they crashed the running back hard and Carter pulled that and got in the end zone.
We got them in fourth down, a bad snap on a punt. We get it at their 20 in first play of that drive, a 20-yard touchdown pass, Carter to London.
Yeah, had double moves on the outside there, little stutter routes to try to get some separation and, you know, good protection by the O-line, good ball, good catch for the score.
And then another long drive, eight plays, 65 yards. Cam Heyman goes in from 10 yards out.
Yeah, really proud of the way Cam ran the ball last night too. Of course, running back, different position for him this year. Think he's got that body. He's got a good job of seeing lanes and cuts and really strong, got good fast twitch in there and He did a good job of keeping it up in there. He's been dealing with an ankle. He did an ankle in the jamboree, so we had him taped up good last night, and appreciate his toughness and being able to run the way that he did last night.
And then next scoring drive, 3-play, 71 yards, and Carter hits Ryan Weeks as he goes in from 25 yards out.
Yeah, it was the two-minute situation there, I think, on that one. Get the ball back with, I think, minute five, minute six on the clock. Have all three timeouts there. We hit the a double post and a wheel on the first one. Really, they did a nice job of covering it. We kind of back-shouldered the ball in a window there for the first play. It's always two-minute important to get that first completion and get rolling. And then we were able to execute a couple big plays. We had a two and up to Weeks, caught on the sideline, got the holding penalty on the quarterback draw, and then hit Weeks to finish it off there on the seam.
They get their second score on a 65-play, 60-yard drive, 49-yard touchdown run, extra point, no good. And then the last two scoring drives for the Tigers, a 10-play drive, 60 yards, 7-yard touchdown pass, Smith to Rose, and then a 5-play, 32-yard drive. Heyman goes in from a yard out, and that wraps the scoring up 48-12.
Yeah, really pleased with being able to execute the two-minute right before half and come out. We get the ball in the third quarter. I think what you say, 10-play drive there to start it out, finish it with points down there. Those are two crucial times in the course of the game to look at your drive chart there, and I was pleased with both of those.
I know we talked about Kirk last night defensively. Adam Harris, dominant last night as we expected. Adam looks like he has slimmed down a little bit, maybe looked quicker, didn't care who the opponent was. What'd you say? He plays mean and fast.
Yeah, I mean, he understands the game. I mean, most 11 aggressive guys on a team usually win, and he brings the aggression. I mean, that's his job, and does it nasty, and which is a good nasty. One thing about him, and I think all your guys that had experience from last year, I didn't see any regression at any of those spots. I mean, it looked like every one of them were improved in their positions, which is supposed to
be. That's what you hope for.
Yeah, but it's not always the case. But, I mean, those guys were as much better this year than they were from their sophomore to junior year. So, I mean, that ought to have made you feel really good that the guys that were supposed to show up showed up.
Right. And really, you know, you talk about Adam as a guy, he kind of obviously has played for us since he's a freshman at defensive tackle, and came to us out of middle school as mature as any defensive lineman that we've ever had, I think. And you know, really last year, you looked at him, he broke every weight room record in the history of the school as a junior, going into his junior year. But this year really kind of focused on trimming down a little bit, losing a little weight, and as you saw last night, held up much better throughout the course of the game, I thought, and is moving really well there and made some plays. For us, certainly.
Sam Tanner, another veteran for you that played well last night.
Sam's played a lot of ball for us. Hayden Tidwell has played a ton for us there, made some tackles last night as well, involved on a lot of tackles. So pleased to see, again, those guys continuing to improve, as you said, Kirk, and being able to make plays for us.
Let's take a look at some scores last night from around the region, and then we'll get into Giles County. On Thursday night, Milan defeated South Gibson. South Gibson will be here week three, a new region opponent, 28-21. Ripley defeated Southside 22-9. Lexington 28, Scottsdale 26. Crockett County 39, Northside 15, TCA 27, Chester County 20. And our next opponent, Giles County, they were defeated by Page 35-34, and good football team coming in here. Of course, David Long sent this to me. First meeting was 1944, was a loss. Last meeting was 2000, we won. Seven meetings all time, two wins, three losses, zero ties, and two games. They couldn't find results. Both of our wins came on the road. And most points scored against them in 2000, 34. Most points allowed, 1999, 23. But the main thing is, in looking at them, they've been to the semifinals the last 2 years. They've run into a powerhouse Alcoa team. They've been pretty pretty good for the last two seasons that I've seen, and then more, you know, right around that 500 mark the seasons before that. So I guess the question is, or do you even know what team are they bringing? Did they have a lot of seniors the last couple of years, or do you know that? And kind of tell us a little bit about what you've seen so far.
Well, you know, traditionally Giles County's kind of like hopefully our program. I mean, they've been up there in deep playoff runs and compete in the state. You know, Bo Wallace going back years ago that played at Ole Miss. He's from there, played quarterback there. They won state championships there with him. And, you know, they're traditionally a very strong program. Back when – well, I don't think while I was playing we ever did, but Coach Mack used to scrimmage against them. They played them, as you said, I think in 2000, had them on the schedule. We've scrimmaged them once since I've been the head coach, going back, I think, to Kendall's years there. We brought them in for a scrimmage. But they're going to have athletes. They got good skill. What our scout said last night, they've got good skill people, got a good tackle on the offensive line. So I haven't watched a lot of film on them yet, fixing to get into it after the show, but know it's going to be a good program that's coming. It's a playoff-type game, and that's what, you know, we want to see on our schedule. And early on, it's going to be a big challenge for us. We've got to have a great week of practice, a great week of preparation to get ready to play in the game.
Yeah, I mean, we started – I mean, here we go again. You know, this year, though, you're going to have you're going to have challenges this year. You know, some years that we've had to schedule games that you feel like you're going to win by 45 points before you go into them. That's not the case. I mean, this year you're going to have to be ready to play with this schedule.
Well, I feel that every year, you know, that we got to be ready to play.
Yeah, no, but you know what I'm talking about. There's years that we played McNary and Chester County, and years that they were – I mean – we were going to win those games. On a bad day, we were going to win those games. But some of the schedule this year is the real deal.
It is a good schedule. And on those years, we never thought that we was just going to show up and win.
You're not going to get him to admit that. What are you trying to do to him here on the show? There's hundreds of 10 people.
He's trying to bait you, Steve.
Yeah, he's trying to bait you. No. I know what he's doing.
Well, I mean, there are games that you may have questioned, but we didn't, and the results were more like what we thought they were going to be than the struggle that you think that it might have been.
Just say yes. <I don't know. laughs> Matthew, appreciate you coming in, and congratulations on the win and a good start to the 2023 season next week. Giles County will be in town. They're a very good football team. Should be, like you said, a playoff atmosphere. They'll bring a lot of people over here. We need to fill the house up and be loud. As the tailgate party starts at 5, Tiger Walk at 5:55, and then we'll go on the air at 6:30 with the Central Bank Tiger pregame show, and then kick off at 7 p.m. So looking forward to Giles County coming to town. We'll talk to you next week, and right here on Sports Talk, and hopefully we're talking about another win as we move through this 2023 schedule.
All right. Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right. And that's Matthew Smith, head coach of the Hardin County Tigers. We'll bring Kendall in when we come back. We'll talk some more football and get his perspective on what he saw last night with younger eyes, and see if he'll answer Kurt's questions maybe of some of the things that we witnessed last night. But anyway, stay tuned for more sports talk right here on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. We'll bring Kendall Atkinson in. Kendall, part of the broadcast team on Friday night. And Kendall, real quick, your perspective of what you saw last night. You've heard Kurt and Coach Smith talk about it last night. What did you think as far as a first game?
Well, I mean, I think one thing that was known, if there was anything that was known, was that they were going to have athletes, which, I mean, they did. There was no doubt about it. But I think just hearing Coach Smith and obviously what we've talked about is the realm of the unknown, which was the adjustments we were going to have to make as the game went on, just due to lack of film and not really knowing what they were going to throw out there. So, you know, as Kirk would say, all in all.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, the adjustments we made definitely at halftime paid off as we shut them out in the second half. And they were just there early on. We let some of their athletes get out on the outside, which is dangerous when you're playing a team like that. And their speed beat us, and that's where they got their 12 points from. But, you know, a week one win like that, making an adjustment at halftime, I'm pretty pleased with the outcome. Anytime you get a win, you're pleased with the outcome.
You know, you think next week you're not going to see a lot of that. You're going to see more of a traditional. They're going to, you know, run their sets. They're going to be well coached. They're going to do what they do is what is it Coach Carpenter says? We're going to do what we do.
We're going to do what we do.
We're going to do what we do.
Yeah. Well, that game last night reminded me kind of we opened up with Fayette where my senior year, and Coach Fortune sent Coach Ennis to the end zone to stand between the goalposts, which is – you can't do that now. I mean, that'd be illegal now. But he left the coach's box and went to the end zone. And because Coach Fortune said, what are they doing? Where are they lining up? And because we were having a difficult time blocking them. And they were squirting gaps in different places. And the same guy didn't line up in the same place twice. And Coach Ennis came back and he said, heck, Coach, they don't know where they're lining up. He said, they're just everywhere. He said, they'll overload by accident and have two gaps open on one side and vice versa the next play. He goes, it's just a lot of chaos in their alignments out there. And so it took us to the fourth quarter, and we scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, you know.
To try to figure everything out.
Guys figured it out, you know, and that's kind of what happens. Like last night, this team, I mean, Hardin County last night figured it out early, you know. Basically after that first drive, they started making changes and fitting up gaps and seeing what they were doing. But in those cases, and that's what I asked him, sometimes it's harder to play against that.
Yeah.
Because every one of us that's played ball, you've got a playbook. And if they're in this alignment, they're lined up in these gaps, and you have these principles, and your blocking scheme is this, you know, and you have this technique and that technique to you. But when a team doesn't adhere to any of those playbook alignments, you got to start really coming down to understanding your blocking rules.
Yeah.
And last night, Carter Smith had 7-8 seconds lots of times to throw the ball, which is a long time to sit. Not often do you get to look at four receivers, and he was able to scan the field and find that fourth receiver if he needed to.
Well, when you think about, like, prep, obviously hearing Coach Smith talk a little bit about, you know, not really knowing what to prepare for. They had four games on film from last year but nothing from this year. You know, it's – you've just got to go back to that kind of that default standard. Okay, they're going to have 3-4 down linemen. You can't really prepare for anything that's going to be, you know, something you wouldn't even think that they would do. It's just like, you know, we're going to prepare for this, and this is kind of the only thing we're given, and just adjust from there. I think we did a really good job doing that last night.
Well, and they were pretty smart, too. I mean, they came out with that press coverage and had the athletes to be able to do
it.
And normally, like in years where we had a Pope, for example, you would lick your chops when you saw man coverage because you knew Pope was just going to smoke whoever that was. We don't really have anybody with that kind of athletic ability to counterbalance that. So to be able to be as sharp as they were against those athletes in space, I mean, it was one of the best throwing nights that I can remember. I mean, they didn't miss unless we dropped it. I mean, bottom line.
Yeah. Hey, let's do this. It's top of the hour. Kristen, take a legal timeout, legal break, and bring it back to us. We'll be back with more Sports Talk after this. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Had to take a legal break there. Got to make everything legal, professional, you know. But, you know, Giles County coming in, and really after last night, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the schedule. Giles County, South Gibson, first region game coming in. They're going to be really good. Memphis East, we were talking about off the air. They're going to be similar to NBA, but probably
better,
more athletic, probably more disciplined with what they're doing. And then we go to Northside for the first time, and then Pure Youth Alliance comes in here. They're going to be, you know, talented.
With them last night.
Yeah, Chester County, Haywood, and then we go into fall break, and then Southside and Lexington. And you were talking with Coach Smith about this schedule. There's not really an easy game left for the rest of the season.
No, and that was – I couldn't get him to say, yeah, he keeps saying good schedule.
Yeah, good schedule. It is a really good schedule.
You know, I like one or two games there that you feel pretty comfortable about before you go into it, you know, having – you know, maybe take a little bit of a break, but they're not going to have it. They're going to have to strap up every week.
Kendall, can you take anything away? I mean, it's kind of – you will, but a game like last night where it's chaotic, you know, on the way they do things, both sides of the ball, going in to you watch film, maybe bring them in, watch a little bit of maybe what we did well on either side of the ball, and then just start going right into Giles County.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just confidence, just building up your chemistry in a game setting. I think back to when I played, we hosted Memphis Northside, and, you know, they may have had a handful of athletes, but it was nothing compared to what NBA brought over last night. I mean, their defensive backs, they played really good man coverage. I mean, they gave us some looks that challenged us a little bit. It's not like it was just they're late. It kind of got into that cakewalk, quote unquote, but I think the biggest thing is just figuring out our identity on the offensive side of the ball, obviously learning how to make adjustments during the middle of a game on the defensive side of the ball. I think, you know, it's a good stepping stone, especially when you think about the schedule that we've got ahead of us, because thinking back to Giles County, when we played them my sophomore junior season during camp, I'm sure they're the same exact way. They're very hard-nosed and they're very disciplined. So it's going to be a real good matchup next Friday night.
Looking forward to it. Kickoff time is at 7 p.m. Switching gears real quick to SEC and Tennessee. Got a report back. One of our buddies were up there this week. Got to go to practice and see a little bit of Tennessee. The one thing he said was offensive line looks like it's going to be a problem.
Well, I think, you know, here we are. What, they start in 2 weeks?
Yeah, right? 2 weeks.
They start in 2 weeks, and they're still shuffling guys on the offensive line trying to find that combination. Then they lost their starting center.
Yeah, he'll be back probably by Florida, maybe.
And so, I mean, I think that really did put them, you know, in a bind trying to figure out if do we move a tackle to guard, do we move – tackle from one side to the other, and you know, trying to find that mesh of players that fit. And, you know, that's 90% of coaching is finding the right guy at the right spot.
I think the most concerning thing he said was that the most impressive thing he saw during that scrimmage was our punter. And it's never good when you're pointing out that one of the best things about a, a practice or an open scrimmage is how good your punter is. That, you know.
I'll tell you what, that's that Australian. And
yeah, he's like, he's almost like 30 years old, and he can kick it with both legs.
At the same time?
That's unconfirmed.
I think I've tried that.
I'd like to see it.
But, you know, I guess the question is, and is Heupel good enough? Can he scheme around? You know, you can scheme around maybe hiding a player here or there, but.
Well, I mean, it's not your standard 4-second drop back with his offense.
Well, I'll tell you what they all do. And talking about Hardin County and what they're going to do against this, you know, better talent. Matthew's mathematical, and he thinks, you know, in numbers to a large degree. And he's going to – if you put five in the box, he's probably going to run it. And Heupel's kind of the same way.
Well, one thing about Matthew is he's got so much – he's got so advanced with Carter compared to when I was there. It if I had to process the amount of things that Carter does right now, there's no way I was mature enough to do what he's doing. And it's a testament to not only Carter's ability to kind of adapt to – what Matthew's putting on him, but he's really grown up a lot from year to year since he's been.
Yeah, and like I said, the progression from last year, you know, there were times I think his head came down when he got in the rush.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And instead of like last night, he was dumping it off to his hot, you know, his hot read there. And I mean, just little things like that you notice that he's matured a lot. But Tennessee's the same way. You know, they keep bragging about Milton. Yeah, he's a different guy now than he was when he first showed up. And if your offensive line's not gelled, well, he's going to have to be.
Yeah, it impacts your running game, impacts your quarterback play. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's something to watch.
Well, they had to replace, what, 4 offensive linemen? I know they have Spraggins coming back.
They lost Darnell Wright, which is going to start.
Wright,
well,
they lost Carvin. Spraggins. Yeah. So I think 3 was what we lost. Yeah. But
that's a, you know.
Well, the biggest thing is your center. I mean, he's the next thing to your quarterback. Dare I say, you know, the same importance of your quarterback. So you lose him, and, of course, he's been fighting the injury bug. I feel like every single season he's been up there.
He had hernia surgery, and they just went in there and cleaned it up. But that's what it was. It wasn't really an injury per se. He just had a procedure done.
You ever dealt with a hernia, Steve?
No, but I've seen one.
What did it look like?
Like another belly button hanging out there. But anyway.
I think we need to end.
Yeah, no, wait. Well, I want to talk to you real quick about something. Let's take a quick time out. Watch the documentary on Netflix. I want to get you see if y'all have seen it.
I've
get
seen
your opinion.
It.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk as we get ready to get out of here on this Saturday morning. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Of course, we appreciate our sponsors for Sports Talk, Jones Nissan, River City Concrete, Hardin Medical Center, Lifespan, Williams Flooring Center, Shallow Golf Course, and Earl's Grill. And appreciate Matthew coming in here, too. I mean, it's long hours that they have each and every week, and for him to come in here and talk about this and then go and try to get prepared for next week's game. But what's the documentary? I think we talked about it on the way home last weekend playing golf. I heard y'all talk about it. My son Brett was talking about it as well, and I thought, well, I'm just going to tune in. And that's an interesting deal because it brings a whole new perspective of how these kids and they talk about, well, they make it to the pros and they bust or they get in problems or they get in trouble. And you got a kid from a small town, great athlete. He gets his opportunity at Texas A&M. I'm talking about Johnny Manziel. He gets his opportunity at Texas A&M, and I like Coach Cliff Kingsbury, is that right? His offensive coordinator, the first game, you know, they lost, and he kind of held the reins on him. He said, we just figured out, we just got to let him just do him. And, of course, if you were a football fan, SEC fan, you know what kind of freshman season he had, end up winning the Heisman and stuff. But all the struggles of the fame and the fortune that came with that season, being a, what, 17, 18-year-old kid, yeah. Being the man.
Yeah, you know, he made that statement, being 20 years old with $100,000 between my mattresses. He said, it was great.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it was just like, golly, man, you know, you got everything at your feet, the world of Texas, the Texas A&M fans, they're just, you know, the one thing that I remember when they were talking to his friend that was kind of managing him a little bit, best friends in high school and all, he said, we knew it got real when he couldn't go anywhere anymore without a mob around him, you know, wanting to touch him, sign autographs, all that kind of stuff. But
the main thing in that documentary that Cliff Kingsbury said that I thought was, he said they knew that he was staying out all night. You know, he talked about him playing hungover the next morning and that kind of stuff, kind of like the Mickey Mantle, you know, story about how he'd be hungover and hit three home runs. And Manziel was kind of that same way. And he said, you know, he wasn't hurting anybody or anything, so we just
just let it go.
And that was, as long as he's doing what he's doing, we're going to let him keep doing what he's doing. And that was why, you know, Johnny Manziel's parents had a grievance against the coaching staff, because they knew what was going on. They didn't step up. You know, he said,
they created him.
You're supposed to help make him be a good man, not just a good football player.
I thought about two things. The first thing is he could have used a Geraldine Atkinson in his life. And the second thing I thought about was just the polar opposite of him, and I thought about Latrell. And I was just like, you can't even, like, think about the differences between Johnny Manziel's scenario, and obviously you think about another – a guy that makes it to the NFL and Latrell.
Take Latrell. I mean, that's attitude and character.
Yeah.
Carried him all the way, Seattle training camp. Right. Manziel, when it got hard.
Right.
You know, they asked him, said, what did you see in the playbook? And he went, I ain't looked at a playbook.
He held up that.
And here he is in the pros. And, it was like somebody that never has to study. They're so smart and they're so good. And then they want to be a doctor. And then they go and they have to study.
Yeah.
And they can't
buy it. They can't do it.
It's not fun anymore now that I have to actually work at it. He just lived by his athleticism.
It just was weird that, you know, I never would have thought that it was going to take the turn that it did, to where he hated Texas A&M at the end of that. He's ready to get out of there. I want out of here. Yeah. But they created it, you know, for him.
Right.
And
I don't know if today's times, you know, social media and all, that you can keep that from happening.
Exactly.
It's just some can be mature enough to handle it and others aren't.
Well, you think you want fame and fortune and then you get it and you see what it does to somebody like him. He's out of football, trying to get his life together. He still has struggles with addiction and things like that. Well, he talked about taking his life at one point.
The saddest part is he knocked on his door at home, and his daddy opened the door, and he looked at him and said, I don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was the bottom. You know, he hit rock bottom. And but he, in his terms, had a whole lot of fun getting there. $5 million party weekend. That's pretty.
Yeah. You know, everybody loves you till they.
Till you run out of money.
Till you run out of money, yeah.
Got a lot of fun from you. Yeah.
Got to move on. We got to get out of here, speaking of moving on. Next week, the Tigers will be in action at Jim Carroll Stadium, Giles County in town. 7 o'clock kickoff, airtime 6:30. We appreciate everyone tuning in to Sports Talk and also to Coach to Coach that comes on before us. If you didn't have a chance to listen to all of Sports Talk, we archive it at WKWXFM.com. It'll be up sometime today. And we appreciate you going back and listening to that. Of course, you can watch live stream at YouTube channel /93 if you didn't get to see the ball game last night. It's archived there. as well. Go and subscribe and get notifications on our YouTube channel, Slice 93. So appreciate Matthew coming in. Appreciate everyone listening. Appreciate David Long dropping by. Kristen over there at control station at the radio station. Appreciate all that she does. Great job. And for Kendall and Kirk, I'm Steve Cornell saying so long, Tiger fans. We'll see you next week right here at 9 a.m. for Sports Talk. Have a great weekend.